All right, everybody, welcome back to the Gigi Meyer podcast. My name is Gigi. I'm your host, and we are doing it a little bit of a special podcast today. I'm actually super excited. One, I have some of my GFIT fam members on here with me. We're doing a Zoom call all together, but also I have a really special guest with me here too today, my sister, Nikki Meyer Dennis. Nikki, welcome to the Gigi Meyer podcast and GFIT fam Zoom.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm a fan, so I'm pumped to be on this side to be the co-host for the day. This is going to be great.
I know. It's a little bit different because we have our own podcast that we have, Team Meyer Podcast. So we put on a pause for a second, but we're going to start it back up once probably season gets going again, because that's when things get interesting.
Yes. We will have a lot to talk about again in the next month, or, you know, give it about a month and we'll be ramping that back up.
I hope. Everyone thinks you're hilarious, by the way. Like, they love it because you're so funny. And I just sit there and laugh the whole time. But I'm in charge today, so.
Yes, you are. And I'm excited for this dynamic. This is going to be good.
It's going to be fun. All right. So just a little bit of a background of Nikki. I mean, Nikki's my sister. She's 2.5 years older than me. And while we're extremely different, I think we're very similar in a way, too. Yes. One weird way is our hands look exactly the same. That's the only thing that, like, appearance wise looks the same, but everything else looks different. Dark hair, blonde eyes, dark eyes. But I mean, growing up, I pretty much followed in your footsteps a lot of the way. I mean, in some way, like when
except for my missteps, I made a lot of missteps. Well, I was the troublemaker. I deserve a thank you for that, because I basically was like, don't do this because you get caught and in trouble. So do the other things.
You like pushed the boundaries, like you tested the boundaries. So I knew what not to do, but I knew how far I could go and get away with.
And I did. I think I pushed them so much that, like, I opened mom and dad up just a little bit. Like, they became less strict because of me. So yes. You're so welcome. I
thank you.
That was my contribution. You're
much
sibling.
Yeah. You're much stronger because of it though. But yeah, I mean, when we were kids, I was the one that was like, I was the tomboy and you were the girly girl playing with the dolls and stuff like that. But as we got a little bit older, going into like middle school, high school, you started playing volleyball and then I started playing volleyball. Yeah. And then you went to college for volleyball and then I went to college for volleyball. And then after college, Nikki got a job, or she started her own corporate wellness business. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So when I graduated, I went wakeboarding for a little bit. I tried the professional wakeboarding thing for a little bit. But then after that, I realized, okay, Nikki has this company. It's called Excel Well. She basically goes into corporate offices and help corporate, you know, workers be healthier while they're at work. So the corporate office as a whole can perform better as a group. And I thought that was so cool. Like, I was always, you know, interested in fitness and nutrition and just active lifestyle, just based on how I was raised. I didn't really realize that I could do that for a living. So if there's one person in this world that can get me to move from Florida to Columbus, Ohio, at the snap of her fingers, it's this person right here. So guess what happened? I 1 minute was saying never in my life would I move up to Columbus, Ohio. And Nikki was like, hey, you want to come work for me? And I was like, yep, be there in a week. And so there I am, driving up to Columbus, Ohio to work for my sister. And a lot of people probably wouldn't think that sisters could work too well together, but we rocked it. I think it was awesome.
We had a great working relationship. And I think, like, the differences that you talked about earlier, where, you know, we're very similar, but we do have our differences. I think that really made it a healthy working relationship, and our dynamic was really complete.
Mm-hmm. That. Yeah, absolutely. And so shortly after that, I mean, long story short, a couple years later, Brian got offered a job in Sarasota, Florida. And it was one of those God things where we're like, okay, this is something that I think we should do. And I don't want to get too, like, emotional about it, but it was probably one of the hardest conversations I've had in my life, to tell my sister I had to leave and move back down to Florida. Remember, it was like, you know, like how twins can have that, like they have like that sixth sense with their twin or their sibling. And it's like, we have that. Like, Nikki knew something was up. I just texted her and I was like trying to be so nonchalant. And I was like, hey, can I talk to you whenever you have a second? And normally it would be like, you'd be like, no, I'm running, like, when I get back. But you were running and you were like, what? Tell me now. I need to know now.
I went into like interrogation harassment mode and was like, tell me now. And then I think I just called you. I was like, what's happening?
And so there was no way out of it. And I don't even think I said anything. I think I just started crying and you knew. Ugh, it sucked. But you being an awesome sister, just very understanding, you were sad, but you were like, I'm just so happy for you. I think that's awesome. So fast forward, moved back down to Florida, and we tried, like, you know, doing the virtual thing for a little bit with ExcelWell, because I love ExcelWell so much. Like, the team, you have a really amazing culture there, and we're going to talk about that too a little bit. But it was just hard. It was something that we're just kind of like forcing. And so, you know, I started to get this like vision in my head of something called GFIT. And I was like, all right, I think I'm ready to go after this. And however, you know, it being my own thing, like, it, a lot of it stemmed my passion, my qualities, my like experience and my skill stemmed from ExcelWell, and literally wouldn't be here, you know, with you guys on this Zoom call if it weren't for this person right here. So y'all can thank her. But anyways, okay, let's dive into it. I mean, like I said, we're going to talk about embracing the chaos, which this person has pretty much mastered. She said she hasn't yet, but she's pretty close, but she has. I call her the chaos queen. And we're going to talk about embracing the chaos and just a little bit background about you, Nikki. You've ran ExcelWell. You started ExcelWell 7 years ago, and you've been running it, the president, CEO, for 7 years now. And it's crushing. It's doing awesome. While that time, you had two kids, both boys.
Crazy boys.
And you also have a husband that is a quarterback coach of Ohio State football, who works around the clock. And as much as he wants to be around, he has to work too. And he's around as much as he can, but it's not very often. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
President, CEO, raising two boys pretty much on her own, right? Chaos.
And if you would have known me 5 years ago, and if my name would have been positively associated with chaos, people would have thought there was a mistake, because chaos was debilitating to me. And so it's been like the one part of my transformation, or me growing as a person, is accepting chaos. Is something, if you're sitting here right now saying there's no way I could ever be accepting of chaos, believe me, you can. And if I can do it, literally any single person in the world is capable.
I think that's me right now, because I don't do really well out of my routine. So this is why I'm so excited, because I feel like me of all people needs this right now. But yeah, let's dive into it. So essentially, what is your day-to-day, like we talk about chaos, what does your day-to-day look like right now? Just fill us in on your life a little bit.
It's literally different every day. And it's because my personal life and my work life, they're not separated at all. And so I think a lot of times when I hear people say work-life balance, that doesn't always mean that it's separate. I think that the balance means that they have to work together and they have to be in literal balance, which means that they can't always be separate. So sometimes I'm in the office all day and I get home and my only time with my kids is at night. Other times Troy has a golf lesson at 11 o'clock. And so my work hours are all wacky, and I, you know, take a big chunk out of the middle of the day to, you know, take Troy to his golf lesson, take him to lunch. I spend some good time with him. And then I have to pick work up again after my kids go to bed. So it's very different, but the three things are work, family. So the boys typically, because Corey is working all the time, and then just like life responsibilities. Like if the car needs, you know, oil changed, or the laundry needs done, or, you know, food needs cooked for dinner. Like I just, the last part of that is just like life, just responsibilities of keeping the boat afloat of life. So in that interchangeably mixes up every single day and looks different, but those three things are my day every day.
Awesome. So obviously when you go from no kids to having kids, and that was pretty quick for you, got married, had kids, you know, it's a pretty drastic change, changing everything, changing schedule, changing priorities, and essentially changing your identity. You go from not being a mom to being a mom. So what was life like for you before you had kids?
Before I had kids, every moment was accounted for in the day. Like I was a very scheduled person. I was very efficient in the day, but it was all about me. It was, when do I want to work out? How long do I want to work out? What do I want to do to work out? Do I want to go to a, and I'm not saying like moms can't do this too. This was just, this changed for me as a parent, but before kids, it was like, do I want to go take a class? Do I want to do this? What do I want to do socially today? It just, every day, every minute was scheduled, but it was totally about me. And when I had kids, it was all about them. So every moment is still accounted for. I still would consider myself very efficient in how I operate during the day. But now every minute that I'm not with my kids, I'm like, it's just this, you know, there's a little bit of tension there. Like, am I being wise with my time right now, or do I need to be with them? So now every minute is still accounted for, but it's surrounding their needs and as much time as I can get with them versus what I need. Mm-hmm. That's the biggest change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The biggest shock or change, right? Like you were just talking about, and how at one point it was like all about you. And if something didn't go your way, it was debilitating for you.
Debilitating to the point where I would embarrass myself. I would act like a fool if, you know, a meeting went 20 minutes over and that somehow impacted my driving time to get to my house to prepare for the workout class I was taking. I mean, it would shake the whole world, and my whole mood would be ruined for the entire day. Mm-hmm. Debilitating.
Mm-hmm. So then at what point, you know, did you feel like that change like had to be made to, you know, help you find like peace again? And what did that look like?
So after Troy was born in 2016, I still tried to operate like I did before kids, which scheduled and not flexible, so many boundaries that like anytime a boundary got crossed, it would throw my whole day up. My whole life was a boundary. I think that was my thing. And then when Troy was born, I still tried to operate that way. But guess what? Kids get ear infections. Kids, something comes up and your whole day, like they can't go to daycare. They have to come home. And, you know, Corey wants to spend time as a family. So that's going to impact if I get to work out or not, or if my kid can't go to bed on time because Corey's going to get home a little bit later and wants to see the boys, like that type of thing. That was like a big no for me. I'd be like, well, too bad. If you're going to be home after bedtime, then I guess you're not going to see them. Like, it was that type of structure still in place when Troy was born. And then 2 years later, Gray, our second, was born. By the way, they're 4 and 2 now. So this has been 2 years that I've been changing. Gray changed everything for me. I actually took a maternity leave for the most part, where with Troy, I went back to work as fast as I could and had a baby sleeping under my desk. Like, it was insane. But with Gray, I actually took time off. I actually started to embrace that things weren't going to go as planned. And this was a small baby step thing, which now eventually I would consider myself 70% good at managing chaos. So
what was it before?
It was -1,000. I mean, like, people would be afraid if they knew something was going to happen with my schedule, they would steer clear of me for the day because they knew it was that bad. But I think after Gray was born, I had no choice. I was basically at the mercy of my two kids, and I just had to learn, like, this is what it is. And you can either accept it and live with this and enjoy it, or you're just going to be miserable all the time.
Right. And so what do you think was like the biggest struggle that came with that change and that shift?
So my whole life was a big boundary. Mm-hmm. You know, I wake up at this time, I eat this at this time, I cook this for dinner, my kids do this at this time, I go to work from this time to this time. And I mean, it was, my whole life was a boundary. And I think what changed was there would just be priorities in the day that didn't necessarily have a time associated with them. Mm-hmm. It was more so, okay, maybe I don't have the hour and a half that I used to drive to a workout class, take the workout class, or I don't even have the mental capacity anymore to follow a workout. I really don't. Like, one of my like two boundaries that I have left out of thousands that I used to have, I probably am hanging on to two boundaries, which I fight to the death, by the way. Like, they're very, very strongly held boundaries. One, I get 55 minutes a day and I go run. That's it. I run outside. That's all I have time for. But I'm very thankful for that 55 minutes and I don't miss it. I don't care if it's raining. I don't care if I just ate before and I timed poorly when I ate lunch. I'm going to go run anyway and be miserable. Mm-hmm. That's a 55 minute boundary where I go outside and run, and it's all I have time for. It's all I have the mental capacity for. I can't like read a workout and stick to it right now. I will get back to that, and I'm committed to it. Just for right now though, I really need the mindlessness of just running outside. And you know, that could happen at any point in the day. My other boundary that I've held on to is time with my husband, with Corey. And my kids will be comfortable with a sitter. They will be comfortable with somebody else putting them to bed. And I don't really care. Like, I will make sure that I trust the person and that they like generally know the rules, but I don't give them a list of rules when I leave. Like I say, just make sure they're in bed-ish at this time. If you have to give them a popsicle to make them listen, I don't care. I'm going to go and like not worry about this and go spend time with Corey. That's my other boundary that I still have.
That's awesome. But you mentioned too, when we were talking about this a little bit earlier, like there was like a little bit of guilt associated with that at first, like sending your kids to daycare a little bit and creating those boundaries.
Yes. So that was a very hard one for me. My kids have been in daycare their entire lives. Gray started a little bit later than Troy, but both daycare babies, and that's like their second family now. Like those two are like celebrities, like at their daycare. They've been there so long and they go every day. And we're going to get into this in a minute, but I was trying to compare myself to people who had different situations. Like some people are able to stay home with their kids and like what a blessing that is. But I had to look at it instead of me feeling like I had it unfairly that I had to work. I had to turn that and think I'm blessed. Like I'm thankful that and you know, get to put my energy into Excel well, like my first baby that I got to build. But yeah, there's a lot of guilt with it. There still is, even though that I've accepted this reality and I've really found a lot of joy in it. It's hard. Like I know that there's parents that get to spend way more time with their kids than I do. But I think that just makes me more intentional with the time I do get with them. I'm very committed to being there emotionally and physically while I have that time with them. Mm.
So one of the things that like, what is one thing that you still have to be like overly intentional about? Like what is one thing that you think about daily that you have to be just like really intentional about with all this in mind and what you've learned?
I think that it's still not going to be perfect. It's still messy. It's called chaos because you can try to say organized chaos, but it's still chaotic. So I think, and when I said 70% earlier, and that's because if I can feel 70% good about our life and our situation and our routine-ish, like if we even have a routine, if I feel 70% good and successful at it, then we are thriving. We are like winning $1 million today. Like, so 70% is gold, because if you're trying to work up to 100%, then you're just back where you started, I think. And I'm no expert. This is just what has worked for me. So I don't want to come off like I figured it all out, because I haven't, but for me, 70% is gold. I think if you work towards that 100% perfection, you're back to having a giant boundary of life. Mm. And if everything is boundaries, there's no more room for real life to happen to you. That's just how life is. So that other 30% is life and change and flexibility. And there's like skill in accepting that 30%, I think.
So it's like, it's pretty much perspective, like 100% perspective, like was probably one of the biggest shifts that you had.
Yes.
In maybe thinking like the goal was to have 100% figured out, but now it's like, no, I could be totally fine with just having this 70% figured out.
70% is an A+ in our household.
C's get you degrees. So how about, you know, we talk about boundaries a lot for people who are on this call or listening to this podcast. Just any advice on how to stay somewhat structured with boundaries, but obviously in a realistic way. I don't just any advice on that.
Just pick three boundaries. I think maybe five, I guess, like if you are able to really commit to it. I just don't set a boundary to something I can't fully commit to, because then I just feel like I'm letting myself down, and that just builds frustration. It builds tension. It puts you in this false sense of reality. So I found like my two boundaries, time with Corey and 55 minutes of just moving outside, running outside. That is what I truly can commit to. And so I just didn't want to get ahead of myself and set myself up for disappointment. So I think if you want to maintain structure, just be smart about what you're structuring. Don't structure something that doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? Like people set boundaries around things these days that I'm like, do you really care? Or are you just like setting a boundary because you think you're supposed to? So like one, make sure you can commit. And two, does it actually matter that you're going to hold yourself and your family accountable to a boundary? Like it better mean something. Mm-hmm. I think those are two ways to be intentional about structure.
How did you find your two boundaries?
It was trial and error. I think the two things that keep me sane, like, what are they? And, you know, after a long day, a long week at work and trying to manage kids, I learned, like, as long as I can run for 55 minutes a day, like, I'm feeling at least good about myself. And I had some moments of silence. Sometimes I don't even listen to music. I don't even, like, do anything. And I just run in the quiet. So I think that's time with myself that I really need and was almost dysfunctional without. And then time with Corey, I've just learned that from other married couples. Like, people have always told me, just always date your spouse, always date your spouse. And with his job, it was easy for us to make sure that's a big priority because he's gone all the time. So we always are just very mindful of making sure our time together, we do get time together. And then it's actually doing something together versus screaming at our kids to get in the bathtub or something. It just makes us intentional and fun. And it gives us time to actually talk and look at each other in the eyes versus, like, only worrying about our kids when we're together.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a couple things, just advice. I want to go through this list. We have this list right here and we can just tap on each one of them, but starting off with just giving yourself some grace. I think a lot of this advice can actually just refer to any type of chaos in your life, whether it's kids, jobs, whatever.
Injuries. People get injured and they're not able to do as much. People have a job change. People have a dietary restriction, like, that they're trying to navigate. Like, there's chaos comes in so many forms. Everybody has chaos in their life. If you never have kids a day in your life, like, you're still managing a lot of chaos. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you said that.
So give yourself some grace. How have you been able to kind of, like, make that, apply that in your life?
I really try. I'm really hard on myself, I think. So I'm not great at this, but the way that I've been able to put it into terms that I can accept, it's hard for me to accept, like, give yourself grace. But if I can accept, like, you got it 70% of the way and setting, like, an actual goal of 70%, that 30% is my grace. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's how I've been able to do that for myself.
Yeah, that's awesome. Something that we talk about a lot, like, setting realistic standards, setting realistic expectations could be the biggest thing that could, like, just impact an outcome of just how you feel about certain things. So, because if you are setting unrealistic expectations and standards and setting yourself up for failure and you feel like a failure, then that's, you know, a negative outcome that you don't want to have. But if you set realistic standards and still apply the same things and still do the same things, but you've, like, exceeded those expectations, then it's a positive outcome, a positive experience. So maybe touch on that a little bit, like, setting realistic standards and how that's impacted you.
Oh my gosh. Realistic standards. Like, those can be as simple as, okay, the standard for tomorrow is we're going to get out of our house at 7 a.m. Like, that's a yeah, right in my house. That will never happen. Even if we're all up at, like, 6 o'clock, I don't know what it is, like, but my house just can't get out. We just can't get out of the house that early. I don't know what it is. And so I will never set a standard. I will never put myself in a situation where that standard is required mm-hmm. for us to be out of the house that early. Because what does that really do? All it does is make me scream at my kids, be really mad at them, be mad at myself, yell at everybody around me. Like, setting unrealistic standards and expectations is just, I don't see the point. So mm-hmm. I think being real with yourself, and again, does it really matter? So setting realistic standards, can you do it? Or can you put yourself to prioritize your situation or prioritize things enough to be able to do it? Of course, you can do anything if you can prioritize it, but mm-hmm. can you actually prioritize it? Mm-hmm. And then does it really matter? Mm-hmm. is my other thing. Like, don't set a standard that you don't think really impacts your everyday life. Like, it doesn't matter enough, you know, because mm-hmm. if you're not setting a real standard, like I said, you're just mad, you're disappointed, you feel like a failure, you're yelling at people. Mm-hmm. It just isn't, it's not healthy.
That's a great point. The other one that I love that you said is don't compare. Like, you're running your own race. Like, your journey is your own unique journey. And comparison is the thief of joy. They say that, right?
100%. It's a thief of joy. And yeah, your situation is uniquely yours. So trying to assume somebody else has your situation figured out better than you can always probably figure out your situation a little better, but assuming that somebody else could do it better or is doing it better isn't true, because your situation is uniquely yours. There's nobody who has the exact same puzzle piece as you do. Mm-hmm. So, and you can do this through what you consume on like social media. For example, if I'm looking at a bunch of moms who are able to do all these really cool crafts, like when I'm home with my kids on the weekend, like we literally run around, half of the people have no clothes on and we're like catching bugs outside or something. And I'm yelling at them to keep them away from me. And they think it's hilarious. Like, whereas other parents are able to, like, they have all the crafts and the supplies and the energy and the creativity and all these things that like, I just don't have. And so following that on social media might make me feel like I'm not as good or I'm not as talented, you know? Mm. So it's just being conscious of what you're consuming on social media. I can't go follow a bunch of people that have a situation that I don't have. Because again, what does that do? It doesn't do very much for anybody. I follow parents on social media that have the same philosophies that I do, where it's like, don't take it too seriously. Like, we've been really blessed where our kids don't have any dietary restrictions, which I think God did that for us on purpose, because I just don't think I could handle it. That's a really big challenge that I know a lot of parents deal with every day. And we just thankfully have not had to yet. So we're really relaxed on what our kids eat. Like, we don't spend a lot of time worrying about it, whereas some parents have to. Like, so, you know, just making sure you're not comparing, you're not trying to replicate somebody whose situation isn't yours, because why, you can't. It's you know, it's not the same. So trying to make your puzzle pieces fit the same way somebody else's do when they're drastically different is just crazy.
Right. And anytime you are comparing and trying to replicate or pursue something that like that you see other people are doing, it's theirs. It's their life. It's their vision. It's not yours. It's not unique to you. So you're ultimately like setting yourself up for failure in a way, because you're not going to be able to do it like them, the way that they do it and the way that the things that they're good at, you know? So Dad and I talked about this a little bit, and just in general, like vision, like things that you want to achieve, the way you want your life to look, your vision is, it needs to be uniquely yours. It's not what it comes, what you learn from. I mean, you can pull information away from social media and what you read and what you see and all that stuff, but you still need some time with yourself and in solitude and knowing like what is, you know, your journey and is it uniquely yours right now? Like, are you doing what you need to do in a way that is unique to you, as opposed to trying to just do what everybody else is doing? So I think that's a great, just in general, thing to take away from. And then, yeah, you said, don't take life too seriously. I love that, because you were someone I feel like that was just very serious about.
Oh my God.
Before.
Life was so serious. My skin would crawl when like something was messy or, and don't get me wrong, like when we all go to bed at night, my house is clean. The whole thing is clean. But when kids are playing, I'm not following them around, like sporadically cleaning something up. Or if anybody follows me on Instagram and see my kids completely covered head to toe in hazelnut Nutella, like, I don't care. I'll clean it. I'll get it. Like, I'll get it at some point. Relax. I think like some people like being very clean all the way around, that works like for you. And that's awesome. Like, keep doing that. It just wasn't working for us. It was unrealistic. And then I also realized it doesn't really matter that much. So I just learned like not to take those little things too seriously. And it's actually helped me find a lot more joy in one, being a parent and like watching kids and letting kids be kids. Mm-hmm. But then also just in life, like life is very short and it's actually really, really fun if you let it be and you're not living in one giant boundary of a life. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's like one thing that I've really embraced the last couple years.
I love it. Sweet. Yeah. Like, I want to touch back on boundaries a little bit, just because I want to be able to apply it to everybody in some way. Right. So, you know, this message doesn't just have to apply to moms. I see a lot of moms on here though, which is awesome. But you know, our own chaos is unique to our lives and whatever that looks like, you know, we can all apply this message in the same way, having boundaries and preparing yourself with the expectation that just like life happens, you know, and we're not in control of every aspect of our life. And so we can't just get caught off guard, which is something that you probably used to deal with. And probably I deal with right now, just not being able to adjust and adapt as well as you've been able to. But But something that we do that I think is so important when it comes that we need to do that I think is so important when it comes to chaos and being able to embrace the chaos is you got to be able to know like what your biggest priority is at that point. You know, in that certain scenario or time that's happening in your life, like, are you spending your time and energy appropriately, you know, that aligns with that priority, like your biggest priorities. You've said it a few times, like you used to do things because you think you should have, but now you realize like it really doesn't matter. So you were, you know, essentially spending your most valuable resources, time and energy and things that like really did not matter. And it took you some trial and error to kind of get to that point, to that clarity. But I think a lot of being able to kind of set ourselves up in a way where we can have this clarity is knowing our biggest priority. And we got to take it even deeper, like do the internal work. I talk about this all the time, guys, like know your whys, like know your whys and your core values, the things that matter most to you. So you can like unapologetically and authentically, like dedicate your most valuable resources, time and energy to the things that matter most to you. And as long as you're doing that, you can't go wrong. And you can't feel bad about that stuff, right? And so, you know, because when whatever we do, no matter what we do, anything that we're doing, we have to make a sacrifice in some area of our life. And we don't want to be sacrificing the things that matter most to us without even knowing it. We got to know what those things are so we can align our energy and our time and our finances in the things that matter most to us, and be able to create those boundaries in a way that are going to support us in the way that we want. And so again, whatever that looks like in your life, whether you're going through, injury, we kind of talked about a little bit later. I know there's been some people who are going some hard stuff in their life right now, tragedy of family members. You know, this time of year is just picking up with the careers and jobs that they're in right now. People are having new babies. So it's like, there's a lot of chaos, and it doesn't have to just apply to moms today. But I think that was the biggest things that I took away from that, is just always being really in tune with what matters most to you, setting those boundaries in a realistic way. And just also like perspective that like you can't control every aspect of your life, and just always being prepared that things are going to change and you have to adjust and adapt. So did you have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think this is just thoughts? Yeah, I think this lesson is really undervalued sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I just think like you can master chaos. Like really, really you can, if you're sitting here thinking like, I don't know how you ever accepted that, but I'm so far from that. Anybody can do it. And it's a really, really valuable life lesson. Mm-hmm.
I like how you said embrace the chaos instead of fight it, like embrace it.
Yeah, because fighting it just creates more of a divide, and it creates a lot of tension and resentment and anger. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just embrace it. Yeah. Chaos is funny. It's hilarious. Like honestly, if you can let it get funny, I laugh so much more than I used to, because chaos to me is humorous. It's great.
That's awesome. All right, everybody, at this time, we're going to open it up to some Q&A or comments, questions, whatever y'all have. Please, you know, post it in the chat box. You can unmute yourself and go for it. All right. I know y'all have some questions for the Chaos Queen here. There's always that one person that has something. Yeah. Someone's got to spark it. Anything? I see a lot of moms on here. Marcy said, I like the part about not comparing. All right, LC, what's up?
Yeah, I have a question. So I know that you came, you played college volleyball, correct? So coming from a strict like routine, everyone, like you have a schedule all the time. Where did like your biggest, like, how did that help you? And then like, where did your biggest transition come from with that?
Oh my God, that's such a good question. I think you just shrinked me to understanding the source of like, my obsession with boundaries and like a structured life. I think that may have come from college athletics. Because I've always wondered, like my parents are super structured and have always been that way. But yeah, college athletics, every minute of every day is managed about you and about your team. Oh my gosh. I think it helped me generally like get launched into my career. And as a young professional without kids, But that was just, it, like I said, like, I think it was a debilitating like piece of my past that I had to learn. Like, that does not apply to real life all the time. That applies perfectly to college athletics. So embrace it and do that very well in that space in your life. But just recognize that that is not real life. Like, once you start having kids and where life does not revolve around your team and yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just important to recognize that that difference. That's a really good question. That was a hard one to answer. And I don't even know if that's the right answer.
She played at Georgia Tech, by the way. She plays at Kennesaw State.
Oh yeah. We were right up the street. Yep. Very cool.
Good question, Elsie. All right, who's next? Thanks.
I have a question.
Hi, Marcy.
Hey, my question is, since you have been on a team and in the collegiate athlete world, what would maybe be a suggestion or some advice to younger female athletes? We all know we'll eventually like phase out of that life, that lifestyle, but what can we do to phase out of it correctly? Because you're completely right. Like, when you're in a setting that's kind of, I don't want to say controlling, but in a way controlling of our time and our energy, and then we get thrown into our own worlds that we create for ourselves. What's a good way to find balance in that transition?
That's a really good question. I think overly commit to it now. And I did as an athlete. And I think that was like the right move. But I think always knowing that a future is going to look very different than what it does now. So one, being open to it and being prepared for it. That's actually why we started Excel Well. Mm-hmm. Originally, it was because I was coming from an athletic world where when I started working, I couldn't believe employees weren't surrounded by the same resources that college athletics mm-hmm. were. That was like the inspiration behind our corporate wellness, you know, program anyway. But I think, yeah, just recognizing like it will end, commit to what it is now, because that's how you're going to maximize your situation now. But when it's over, be prepared to take more control of your own life. Understand what boundaries are in place for you now aren't going to be necessary for you in the future, but which ones are necessary, and hold on to those and don't let those ones go. Protect those boundaries and stick to them.
Yeah, that's awesome advice. Cool. Erin, let's see. Well, we had Marcy, you said something in here too. Everyone's chaos looks different, and that's why we all have to embrace the life we choose. It can be so beautiful. Yeah. Erin said, that has literally taken me forever to embrace the not comparing. Facebook makes it so freaking hard because everyone always posts the flowery stuff. So I feel like an ogre most days, and that I am somehow not doing enough of being a good mom, wife, and woman.
I feel that. Me too. I still feel that.
Yeah. I mean, it's totally normal to compare. I think the biggest thing is just having that awareness and kind of catching yourself in the moment and not letting, you know, comparison rob you of any joy, of any of the joy that you could be have, of the blessings that you already have. Cause that's my biggest thing. When I find myself like feeling discouraged or sad or like, I don't know, like comparing myself and not feeling good enough, I've been able to kind of make like realize that it's for one, it's just me kind of allowing that to happen to myself. Like, that I'm allowing whatever situation or whatever I'm looking at rob me of joy that I could like decide to have right now. And I kind of like take that personal. I'm like, I don't want to be robbed of my joy. Like, I just want to feel joy. So just that awareness allows you to be able to kind of catch yourself in that moment and be like, no, I'm blessed. Like, I'm rocking it. I'm doing everything, you know, that I can right now. But also maybe it's like, okay, maybe I can be better in some things too. And then that at the same time allows you to, which sometimes isn't fun, but also reveals areas of your life that you can get better at. And so just being able to embrace those type of conversations that you have with yourself and know that they're there for a reason. But the skill to be able to pull yourself out of like going down those rabbit holes of like feeling not worthy of comparing yourself. And, you know,
yes.
Madison said, when you feel yourself starting to get bothered, approaching your boundary, how do you quickly switch to more of the, it doesn't matter mindset, so your day isn't railroaded?
It's like a script in my brain. Like, I have to like say it to believe it sometimes. Because again, if it really doesn't matter, and I try to, my mother-in-law taught me like the 5-year rule. If you're not going to stress about it in 5 years, like don't stress about it for 5 minutes. And I literally think about that a lot. So if something's broken, if there's something that needs to be done and I'm not going to get to it today, and it's like starting to create like literally an itch, and I just think, is this going to matter in 5 years, or is this going to be a solution that I'll eventually get to? You just, you know, think about the long term. If it's not going to impact you, just really try to let it go. It actually feels good too. Mm-hmm. It's like conquering. It almost is like victorious when you can start to say it and actually believe it. It feels really good.
It's like, yeah, freedom. Yeah. I like to ask myself this question all the time. What's the worst that could happen? And I like take that into account, and I'm like, okay, well, what are the chances of that happening? And if it happens, does it really matter?
Or is it just a little inconvenience?
Yeah. Or is it just like, whatever? Yeah. Elsie said, love protecting your boundaries. It's like guarding your heart. Mm-hmm. Aaron said, Jifa has totally made me change my mindset quicker. I'm like, go away all bad thoughts. And I'm a total rock star. Exactly. That awareness of just being able to like take control of that area of your life is game changer. So that's a lot of what we touch on all the time, because it's, like I said, the game changer. All right, buddy, there you have it. Embrace the chaos with the Chaos Queen, Nikki Meyer-Dennis. If you have, let us know what you think. I mean, if you loved this podcast episode, please share, go onto the podcast and give a review, a rating. We want to hear everything that you're thinking when you're listening to our podcast. Give us some feedback, give us some ideas. We want to talk about things that you want to hear. So don't hold back. Get a hold of me on Instagram or wherever you can get a hold of me. And I am open to those suggestions. But until next episode, go crush the week.